couldn't answer. Then two men in suits were there, asking the same questions. I was separated from Ryder, pushed back by the EMTs and then the police. The crowd had thickened, and it took me forever to get back to my car and find my bag. I tried calling Ryder, but my hands were shaking so badly. He'd found me, though, stalking out of the crowd. I cried out when I saw him, and he moved to touch me, his hands hovering on either side of my face. But he didn't. "I've got to stay with Hector," he'd said. "Go home and stay there. But please, just get away from here, please," he said again, his face leached of all color. "Just get away from here. Go home and stay there, okay? I'll call you when I can." My heart had been thundering in my chest. "I don't want to leave you. Not right now." I started to look to my left, where yellow tarp had been draped. "Don't look, God. It's already too late, but don't look." He'd shifted, blocking my view. "Please, Mallory. Please get out of here." That was the last thing I wanted to do, but he was begging me, and I'd never heard Ryder beg before, not even when he fell under Mr. Henry's fists. So I nodded, and Ryder had kissed me then, a hard, almost brutal kiss that tasted like anger and fear. When he walked away, I wanted to follow. But I got in my car, and I drove home like he'd begged me to. In a numb daze, I parked my car and grabbed my bag. Feeling like I was walking through sand, I went inside and winced at the familiar, normal noises. Carl was in the study, to my left, talking on the phone. Chuckling. Living. In the kitchen, I could hear water running. "Mallory?" Rosa called out. "You didn't answer my text. Is Ryder coming over for dinner?" A dry, barely audible laugh rasped out of my throat. Rosa was trying. She really was, but Ryder wasn't coming over for dinner. I didn't respond. I dragged myself up the steps. I heard Rosa call my name again. But I kept walking. Once inside my bedroom, I stopped in the middle of the room and turned in a slow circle. I saw everything, but didn't really see anything. I sat on the edge of the bed, forcing myself to take deep, even breaths as I rubbed my hands on my tights. Pressing my hands to my face, I covered my eyes and opened my mouth. I screamed, but there was no sound. It hurt nonetheless, ripping apart my throat. I tried to process what just happened, but all I could think about was Jaden walking up to my locker my second day of class. He'd tugged Paige's braid, called her a ghetto Katniss, and then talked to me like he'd known me for years. All I could think about was Jaden in the car the first day of school. I could hear his laugh, and if I breathed deeply enough, I was sure I could still catch the earthy scent that clung to him. I couldn't see, hear, or smell any of that again. Gone. Forever. I didn't understand. He'd said he had different goals now, and he was finally listening to his brother and Ryder. "Oh my God," I whispered. "Mallory?" Rosa's voice was closer, at the top of the stairs. "You didn't answer." She appeared in the doorway, her eyes widening. "Mallory?" She rushed into the room. "Dear God, what happened?" I stared at her for a moment, and then looked down. I yanked my hands off my legs. The tights were stained, soaked a dark red. "Oh my God." I must have knelt in Jaden's. My stomach turned. "Mallory," she clasped my chin with cold fingers, tilting my head back. "What happened to you? Your face, are you okay?" In a distant part of my brain, I realized that this was the most panicked I'd ever heard Rosa. She was always so calm and collected, always so in charge. But she was touching me, smoothing my hair back from my face, and she sounded like I felt inside, out of control. "Talk to me, honey." She knelt, grasping my hands and turning them over. The skin was raw and red. "Tell me what happened." I shook my head. The physical pain I felt was nothing. Jaden is dead.
What?
She blinked, and only then did I realize that she didn't know about Jaden, not by name.
What are you saying?
I met her dark gaze and the words tumbled out.
They shot him.
He was walking across the parking lot, and they pulled up in a car, and they just shot at him, shot him. He was standing there, and then he was gone.
I shook my head. I don't understand. They just drove up and started firing.
He was only 15, Rosa. He was...
Oh, God.
She smoothed her hands down my arms. Several moments passed before she spoke.
How did this happen?
She asked as she lifted my hands.
Ryder, he tackled me.
I looked down at my scuffed up palms. My hands slid on the road. I swallowed, staring at the bright red scratches. Pieces of rock were flying everywhere.
You were with Ryder. Where is he now?
I shook my head. He's with Hector. That's Jaden's brother. Rosa gently tugged me up.
Start from the beginning. Tell me everything.
As I spoke, her jaw hardened. She led me into the bathroom and turned on the tap. She had me sit, and she was silent as she cleaned up my hands and cheeks, much like I had done the day Ryder had come to the house. The same people who had hurt Ryder had most likely been the ones who did this. Who had killed Jaden? The peroxide stung, but I sat still. At some point, Carl stuck his head into the room, but Rosa waved him away. When she was done, she gathered up the cotton balls and tossed them in the trash. She knelt in front of me again.
Why don't you get cleaned up? Leave the tights in the hall, I'll throw them away.
I nodded. Her gaze searched mine, and then she hugged me tight.
I'm so sorry about your friend. And that you had to experience that.
She pulled back, leaving her hands on my shoulders.
I'm so very sorry. And I'm so very glad you're safe.
My lower lip trembled. Rosa held my gaze as she rose, and for the first time ever, I heard her voice shake.
This
is why Carl didn't want you around, Ryder.
This was why.
Chapter 31. Rosa's parting words echoed as I showered and quickly changed. The sweats chafed a patch of skin on my left knee, but I ignored it as I walked into my bedroom. Picking up my bag, I unzipped the side compartment and tried calling Ryder. No answer. Opening up the text screen, I typed out, "Are you okay?" The message zipped through and underneath it showed delivered. I waited. No answer. I turned sideways, brushing my damp hair back from my face. I shouldn't have left Ryder. I should have stayed with him, with Hector. I couldn't have helped either of them, but I could be there for them. Except I'd left. I'd done what I was told, like always, and I left. I wasn't sure if leaving had been right or wrong. I glanced down at my phone and started to call Ainsley, but stopped. I didn't know how to tell her what happened, especially with everything she was going through. I sat down on the bed, and I didn't move. Minutes turned into hours. The sky darkened outside the window. I lay down, holding the phone close. My head was strangely empty, except for a low buzz like it felt when I had a head cold. I must have fallen asleep, because when I blinked, sunlight was cutting through the blinds. Tiny particles of dust danced in the streams. Mouth dry, I sat up and looked away. I stared at the closed door, knowing I'd left it open yesterday. For a few minutes, I couldn't remember exactly why there was this horrible churning in the pit of my stomach. Jaden. My body jerked as I twisted at the waist, scanning the bed for my phone. There. It was between my pillows. I dug it out and hit the screen. No missed calls or texts.
staring at my phone, I told myself that the reason Ryder hadn't called or texted was that he was with Hector. Reassuring me wasn't his top priority. I understood that. But fear blossomed in the pit of my stomach, and nausea rose. Ryder was okay. There was no reason for him not to be. The fear gave way to bone-deep dread. I threw my legs off the bed and rushed out into the hall, into the bathroom. Closing the door behind me, I dropped to my knees and retched. Nothing came up. Not really. I dry-heaved until my ribs ached, and I sat there, breathing heavily. Slowly, painfully, I stood and grabbed my toothbrush. Turning the water on, I brushed my teeth and then washed my face, wincing when the cleanser and hot water hit my cheeks. When I looked up, I saw my reflection. Tiny marks splattered my cheeks. Shadows were painted into the skin under my eyes. My hair was still a little damp from sleeping on it wet, and at the moment, it was the color of wine and going in every other direction. I pushed away from the sink and walked back into the bedroom. Each step felt immeasurably slow. Nothing felt real as I picked up my phone again.
Mallory? Carl called from downstairs. Can you come down here?
I clenched the phone in my hand and hurried down, finding them both sitting at the kitchen table. I slowed as I approached the island. They looked like they hadn't slept much the night before. His gray shirt was wrinkled. Stray hairs escaped Rosa's short ponytail, fanning her face like little fingers.
Why don't you come sit down?
Carl advised gently. Coffee mug sat in front of them, and the scent was heavy in the air. Sensing that this wasn't going to be a conversation I wanted to stick around for, I stayed where I was. He looked at Rosa, and then continued.
How are you feeling?
I thought that was an incredibly stupid question.
I know that what you just saw was a lot to deal with, a lot. And Rosa and I both wished you would never have to experience something like that again.
Again? Then it hit me. How could I forget? He was talking about Miss Becky. Besides the dull eyes, this was nothing like finding Miss Becky in her bed, long dead and cold to the touch. I didn't know the specifics, but her death had been peaceful compared to Jaden's. Her death was nothing like Jaden's.
And we know that right now is a tough time. Carl went on, and I blinked, wondering if I'd missed half of what he'd said. But this conversation can't wait.
What? I looked between them as I placed my phone on the island. What can't? Ryder. Rosa picked up her coffee mug. We need to talk about Ryder. My brows flew up. Why?
I think it's pretty obvious, Carl stated, his tone gentle but firm. What happened yesterday
has nothing to do with Ryder, I interrupted. Surprise flickered across Carl's face and then was gone so quickly I wasn't sure I actually saw it.
I'm going to have to disagree with that.
Both of us are. Rosa joined in. You would never have been anywhere near that neighborhood if it weren't for Ryder. What's wrong with that neighborhood? I demanded, and Carl raised his brow. Yeah, it's not the greatest. It's not the Point or where Ainsley lives, but it's not the worst in this city.
It's not a good place, Mallory.
Carl folded his hands around his mug.
Now, I know you haven't seen a lot of this city, but we have.
I have seen the worst shit this city has to offer, and it has nothing to do with the neighborhood. Anger flashed through me bright as the sun, and I vaguely realized that I hadn't paused once while speaking. I was too pissed to care. Mallory, warned Rosa, language. My language? I saw someone get shot. My voice cracked. I saw a friend die yesterday, and you're blaming Ryder for this?
We're not blaming Ryder, Carl replied. We just don't think your friendship with him is the best thing for you right now. I'm not his friend. My hands curled into fists. He's my boyfriend.
Carl muttered under his breath as he pinched the bridge of his nose.
Mallory.
What? You know he's my boyfriend.
Yes, but...
He looked at Rosa helplessly.
Look, honey, we of all people are not the type to judge, but Ryder is not the kind of people you need to be involved with.
Rosa set her mug aside. That's what we're trying to say.
I stared at her, dumbfounded.
What kind of people are you talking about?
The kind who has no future. The kind who doesn't even care about the fact he has no future planned.
Carl's tone hardened and I flinched. Was that what they thought of Ryder?
The kind that takes you to a neighborhood where 15-year-olds are shot in the goddamn street.
My mouth dropped open.
Carl?
Rosa reached over, placing a hand on his arm.
No. We trust you to make smart decisions, but we don't trust him. We've been tolerant enough with this whole Ryder business because we knew what he meant to you. But we are drawing a line with this.
His cheeks flushed a ruddy color.
You could have been hurt yesterday, or worse. That is unacceptable, and I will not go through this again.
It's not his fault, I shouted.
Rosa blinked, taken aback. Not in the 4 years I've been with them had I ever raised my voice or talked back to them.
We know it's not his fault, Mallory, but that doesn't change what happened.
Okay. Let's talk about Mr. Stark.
Carl's eyes flashed.
What is he planning to do once he graduates, if he graduates? Spray paint cars for the rest of his life?
My skin flushed hot. What's wrong with that if he did choose it? He's good at what he does, and he is brilliant. I itched to pick up something and throw it, not only because of what I was hearing, but because Ryder did give off that impression to people, to everyone, that he didn't care. But he did. Now I was pissed at them and him.
Ryder has a future.
He hangs out with people who...
Rosa squeezed his arm, stopping him from finishing his sentence.
Carl looked like he was about to throw up his hands.
I'm not trying to upset you, Mallory, but he's not good.
Don't say it.
I lifted my hand and my finger trembled as I pointed it at them. He made sure I was safe yesterday, and he was there for me before you all even knew I existed. He was the only person there for me, and just because he thinks he's not cut out for college, you think he's not worthy?
Mallory!
Carl's eyes widened.
I know Ryder has been there for you. I know what he did for you, and I'm not discounting that. But that doesn't change what happened yesterday. This isn't just about your past together, or about college. I know the kind of people he spends his time with. I know how these stories end.
I wasn't stopping now. A cap had blown off me. Pent-up emotion broke free. Everything that happened yesterday. Everything that had happened the last couple of months, the last 4 years. An entire lifetime. Tears burned my eyes.
Ryder is good people. So is Hector, and so is...
So was Jaden. Just because they don't have money or don't live in a house like this doesn't make them bad people.
We know that.
Rosa stood, shaking her head.
Neither Carl nor I come from money. You know that. It has nothing to do with money.
Then what does it have to do with?
He's not good for you.
Carl repeated.
Why?
My voice became shrill to my own ears. Just because I'm not agreeing with everything you all are saying, he's to blame for that?
You saw someone get shot and die because you were with him.
Carl's voice was as sharp as a blade.
It's not his fault.
You can make better choices than this, Mallory. Smarter choices,
he argued.
You have your entire life ahead of you, perfectly laid out. Don't throw it away. Don't throw away everything because you're making a mistake.
I stiffened. No way did I consider Ryder a mistake. But God. I was bound to make mistakes. It was going to happen. I wasn't perfect.
I wasn't perfect. Something deep inside me clicked into place. Rosa and Carl knew I was far from perfect. They had to know I'd make mistakes, that I needed to make them. Wanting to be perfect for them no longer held the same power, because I couldn't be that. My shoulders straightened. If it turns out to be a mistake, then I'm okay with it. Looking away, he rubbed his palm down his face.
We never would have had to have this conversation with Marquette.
My jaw unhinged as I jerked a step back. Hurt rolled through me, fanning my anger like wind did to a fire. In the 4 years since they'd taken me into their home and their lives, I'd never heard them say something like that, at least to my face.
Carl, gasped Rosa.
I didn't ask. I drew in a shallow breath. I am not her. I will never be her. He lowered his hand, and then his head swung to where I stood. The color faded from his face. Regret filled his gaze immediately.
Mallory.
I'm not going to make her decisions, I said, hands shaking, and it all just came out again. I don't want to spend the rest of my life in a lab. I don't want to do anything in the medical field. I'm not perfect like her. I don't want to be.
Rosa placed her hand to her chest. Honey, we done.
I was so done with this conversation that I didn't even need words to tell them that. I didn't need to be lectured right now. I didn't need to hear anything that they were saying. I needed to be with Ryder, be there for him, like he'd been there for me so many times in the past. The rightness of that struck me hard. It was my turn to take care of him and to be the strong one, the one who held it together so he could fall apart a little. I was not going to shatter and rely on anyone to piece me back together. I was done. Spinning around, I left the kitchen and darted upstairs. Once inside my bedroom, I slammed the door shut and then whipped off my loose shirt. I threw open a drawer and rooted around until I found a bra and then a tank top. I grabbed a hoodie and pulled it on over my head. I yanked my hair back in a loose knot as I walked over to my bed. Shoving my phone into my bag, I slung it over my shoulder and then pivoted. I headed out of my bedroom as I dug my keys out. I took the steps two at a time, and when I hit the foyer, Rosa appeared.
He didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. I walked straight to the door. She followed.
Where are you going?
Out,
I replied, my heart racing.
Mallory!
Opening the door, I stopped in the doorway and faced her. I need to be there for him. Hector and Jaden are like brothers to him. Cold air washed over me and rolled into the house. I need to go.
You can't. I need to go.
My hand tightened on the knob as Carl appeared in the background. I'm going. Then I did. I left the house knowing that Carl and Rosa didn't approve, knowing that I was going to be in trouble, knowing that I was letting them down, that I already had. I'd tried Ryder again, but the call went straight to his voicemail, and the text I sent him didn't show delivered. I knew that most likely meant his cell was turned off. I tried not to let myself freak over that too much, because I was freaking about Carl and Rosa. We never would have had to have this conversation with Marquette.
God.
God, that stung bad. It hurt. But it also hurt to know how they viewed Ryder, and even Hector and Jaden. Never did I think they'd be like that. I was so mad, so disappointed, that my knuckles ached from my grip on the steering wheel. I couldn't think about Carl and Rosa right now. I'd deal with the fallout when I got home, and it would be a huge fallout, because I knew what I was doing was right. And it was also wrong. The first place I checked was the Luna's house. I'd found a spot about 2 blocks down and jogged up the block, against the brisk wind whipping down the street. I saw Hector's escort. People wearing bulky jackets and skullcaps sat on the steps of the homes as I hurried past them and walked up to the front door. The autumn-themed wreath on the door had been replaced with evergreen and mistletoe. Renewed anger hit me as I remembered what Ryder had said about the school administration, that they saw certain addresses and then didn't even try. I never thought Carl and Rosa would be the same. Sirens wailed off in the distance as I knocked on the front door, reminding me of yesterday. A shiver curled down my spine. Heavy footsteps were heard inside, and I tensed. The door swung open, and a tall older man was standing there. He took one look at me and frowned.
"Who are you?"
"I'm looking for..." Another guy appeared behind him. I recognized him from yesterday. He'd been at that house, and I didn't know his name.
"You're Ryder's girl."
He shouldered the other man aside.
"You looking for him?"
I nodded. "Is he here?"
"Yeah, upstairs. The attic last I saw him."
He stepped aside, letting me in. I swallowed hard as I looked around. The living room was crowded. I glanced back at the guy. "I'm so sorry about Jaden. I..." His eyes glinted as he closed the door.
"They ain't gonna get away with that. I know. No way in hell they gonna get away with taking my blood,"
he promised, and I shivered again. The other man shook his head as this guy, who I was guessing was family, pointed to the stairs.
"It's a little crowded up there."
I thought that was a little weird, because even though I hadn't been up in the attic, I was under the impression it was pretty big. But I turned and headed up the stairs, passing a very tall, dark-haired woman who was dabbing a tissue under her cheeks. I didn't see Mrs. Luna, but all I could think about was what Jaden had said to her before, that she wouldn't know what to do without him. My chest squeezed. On the second floor, I walked down the hall, past open doors. I didn't let myself look in, because I didn't want to see if any of them was Jaden's room. I couldn't see that. See his stuff? I walked past Ryder's bedroom. At the end of the hall, I opened the door. The narrow staircase was dimly lit, and there was a stale, earthy scent that reminded me of Jaden. Holding on to the railing, I made my way up and crested the top of the stairs. Sunlight fought its way through the dusty attic windows, casting enough light that without the lamps on, I could still see. And I saw. I saw the mattresses and stacked pillows. I saw the card table covered with bottles and cans of soda. And there was Ryder's phone on that table. I saw the TV that wasn't turned on. I saw the couch. And my heart stopped. And then dropped. Dropped like the stars falling out of the sky. My lips parted on a soft inhale. I'd found Ryder. He was asleep, his head resting against the back of the couch. He wasn't alone. My bag slipped down my shoulder and hit the floor with a thud. Paige was there, curled up on the couch beside him. Chapter 32. The sound of my bag hitting the floor didn't wake them. Paige stirred, though. She curled in more, pressing into Ryder's side. Seeing that was like taking a punch to the stomach. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. For what felt like the 100th time in 24 hours, I was absolutely dumbstruck, and my brain had a hard time catching up to what was happening. I opened my mouth, but a sinking feeling cut me off as I stared at the two. Then my gaze cut to the table, to where Ryder's phone sat. He hadn't answered any of my texts or calls. I'd believed it was because he was with Hector, and he was here, at home. But he wasn't with Hector. The punched-in-the-stomach sensation increased. The guy's words from downstairs came back to me. "It's a little crowded up there." Now I knew what he'd meant. Oh my God. Pain lit up in my chest, and it felt so very real, like my chest had been cracked right open. As horrible as it was, I wasn't thinking about Jaden in that moment. I was thinking about the time Ryder and I had spent together before we'd walked outside. How he'd held me. How he'd kissed me. Touched me. What he'd admitted to me. And now he was here with her. Asleep together?
I had to get out of there. Picking up my bag, I wheeled around. I crept down the stairs, wincing each time the floorboards creaked. I had to get out of there before Ryder woke up because I couldn't deal with that right now. Quietly closing the attic door behind me, all I could focus on was getting out of there, and then I didn't know. I couldn't go home, not yet. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'd made it halfway down the hall when a door opened. Hector walked out, scrubbing a hand through his hair. His body jerked when he spotted me.
"Hey," he said, voice thick as he dropped his hand. "I didn't know you were here."
I glanced behind me and then refocused on Hector as I shut down the whirlwind of raw emotion swirling inside me. I stopped to check on Ryder and on you. I'm so sorry about Jaden.
Me too.
His bloodshot eyes closed briefly.
A messed up thing? I'm not surprised, you know. Even after what happened with our cousin, I'm not surprised. He was making changes, getting a job with me, but it was too late. He got in deep with people you just don't screw around with. I just thought... I don't even know what I thought.
I didn't know what to say, and I didn't think there was anything I could say. Hector's shoulders slumped.
He didn't deserve that. I don't care how much money he owed.
No, I whispered, and I thought about the day in the garage and what Ryder had said to Jaden. You're going to get yourself killed. Oh, God. Ryder had been right. He didn't. He lifted a hand and scrubbed his fingers through his messy hair.
I don't even believe the police will get them, the ones who got Jaden.
They have to. My chest squeezed. I refused to believe anything else. They will.
Hector nodded, and the act looked like it took a lot of effort.
My abuelita is asleep. They've got her sedated.
I still didn't have the right words, but innately I knew that this was one of the moments where there were none. Only action mattered in times like these, I realized. It was why I'd come over to comfort Ryder, to just be there for him. Except he'd obviously already had someone comforting him. Stepping forward, I did the only thing I really could. I wrapped my arms around Hector and squeezed. He stiffened at first, and then a sigh shuddered out of him. He folded his arms around me.
"Thank you,"
he whispered in a hoarse voice. I nodded as I drew back. Hector blinked rapidly several times.
He
cleared his throat.
"You see Ryder?"
A twisty motion in my chest threatened to steal my breath. "He's asleep. I didn't want to wake him."
"What? We can wake him. You came all the..."
"No, it's okay." I started to pass him. "I'll call him later."
"But..."
"It's no problem." I forced a smile as I stopped, facing him. "I'm thinking of you." A trace of a grin appeared on his lips, and then he nodded once more before turning toward the attic door. I left then, hurrying out of the house as fast as I could without running. Once I was in my car, I pulled out and I just started driving. My phone started ringing when I was about 3 blocks away, but I didn't look at it. I squeezed the steering wheel tight. My phone rang again. When it stopped, it dinged a few moments later, signaling a message was left. But I didn't look. I just kept driving. I didn't end up driving aimlessly. 30 minutes later, I found myself walking up to Ainsley's house after I left Hector's. Luckily, she answered the door, wearing cotton shorts, knee-high socks, and an oversized hoodie. Somehow she managed to still look cute.
"Hey, what are you..."
Ainsley trailed off as she eyed me. She snapped forward and grabbed my hand, pulling me inside. The toasty warmth barely eased my chilled skin. Tugging me toward the stairs, she called,
"Mom, Mallory's here. We're going upstairs."
"All right." There was a pause, and then the TV was muted from the living room. "Do you two want some hot chocolate?"
"Hot chocolate?"
she mouthed at me, rolling her eyes.
No, Mom, we're not 10.
Hot cocoa sounded real good about right now.
Are you sure?
Her mom's voice was closer, and we were halfway up the stairs. I have those tiny marshmallows you two like so much.
Oh, my God.
And then louder.
Yes, Mom, we're sure.
Just checking, her mom replied.
Rather have some tequila, Ainsley muttered at the top of the stairs.
Her mom appeared at the bottom.
What was that?
Nothing. Ainsley flashed a quick grin and then dragged me into her bedroom, closing the door behind her.
Jesus Christ, the woman has the hearing of a bat. And I don't know if bats have good hearing, but I think they do.
She pushed away from the door.
What's going on? You look like you have the flu or something.
I don't have the flu. I dropped my bag on the floor and then walked over to her bed, flopping face first onto it.
Ainsley shuffled toward the bed. Are you sure about that? I hope you are, because I really don't want to have to Lysol my comforter.
I cracked a grin and rolled onto my side.
Yes, I'm sure.
She ran the rest of the way and then jumped on the bed, causing me to bounce.
What's going on? And I know something is going on because as long as I've known you, you haven't just showed up randomly.
Her eyes widened.
Oh, wait. Did you and Ryder have a fight? Am I going to have to beat him up?
My chest squeezed.
No. Not really.
Not really?
She poked my leg when I didn't respond. That doesn't tell me anything.
Sitting up, I grabbed a pillow and hugged it close.
I was going to call you yesterday, but you've got a lot going on.
Ainsley arched a brow.
I may or may not go blind, Mallory. That doesn't mean I have a lot going on.
I looked at her doubtfully. She might act like she wasn't stressing over her diagnosis, but the tightness of her mouth and the way she looked away spelled something totally different.
Talk to me, she demanded.
Taking a deep breath, I told her everything, starting with what happened to Jaden yesterday, fighting with Carl and Rosa this morning, and ending with finding Paige and Ryder asleep together on the couch. Ainsley's emotions were all over the place, much like mine. She hadn't met Jaden, but her eyes welled up with tears.
Oh my God, he's just... I don't even know what to say.
She placed her hand against her chest.
How is Hector? Okay, that's a dumb question. How are you? You saw... Okay, that's also a dumb question.
Springing forward, she smacked my arm.
I jerked, pulling back.
What was that for?
You should have called me yesterday, she whisper yelled. You went through an extremely traumatic event. You saw someone... God, I can't even say it. After everything you've been through, you see that happen?
Nothing. Nothing that I've been through compares to what happened to Jaden. The back of my throat burned.
It's so senseless, you know? I don't care what he did or didn't do. It wasn't worth his life.
No, she agreed, as she wiped under her eyes with the back of her hand.
Do you know if the police have arrested the guy who did it?
I shook my head. I don't know. Hector thinks they won't, but they have to. Everyone knew that these Braden and Jerome guys were after him.
Ainsley shuddered.
It's so horrible. The burn in my throat didn't decrease, but the tears building in the backs of my eyes didn't fall. They never did. No matter. My tear ducts were defective. I was defective.
Poor Jaden.
She folded her arms around herself.
Poor Hector. God, I can't even imagine what that's like. I don't want to.
Do you know when the funeral is, or is it too soon?
Too soon, I guess, I said, tucking a stray hair back from my face.
I didn't ask Hector when I saw him. I'm sure I'll find out. I'll let you know. Neither of us spoke for a long moment, and then Ainsley sighed.
Okay. Now this whole Ryder thing.
The pressure in my chest clamped down like vice grips.
I don't even know what to say about that.
She shook her head.
I mean, it could be completely harmless. I raised my brows. Ainsley winced. Hey, let's look at this logically for a moment. They had their clothes on, right?
Oh, God. Immediately an image of Paige and Ryder naked formed and I wanted to vomit.
Yes, they had their clothes on. Now, that doesn't really mean anything. When Todd and I had sex, we didn't get completely naked, and all it could have meant was that they put their clothes back on afterward.
I thought about what Ryder and I had done yesterday while our clothing had remained on. Mostly.
Wait. I refocused on what Ainsley was saying. You think they had sex?
What? No, I mean, that's like the worst-case scenario. That in his grief and whatever, he hooked up with her.
She stared at me.
Isn't that where your mind was going with this?
Truth was, I didn't know what I was thinking. But I didn't believe they'd have sex after what Ryder had told me the day before. My shoulders caved in. I saw them and I just freaked. I don't know.
I squeezed the pillow.
I defended him to Rosa and Carl, left the house to go to him, to be there for him. And he didn't even need me. He had...
My breath caught.
He had Paige. And he didn't answer the phone when I called or texted. He was with Paige, Ainsley, and yesterday we went pretty far, and I...
Pressing my lips together, I cut myself off.
What?
She asked, softly.
I didn't want to say, because it made the hurting in my chest so much worse, and it scared me so badly. Terrified me, because I knew what I was feeling was a big deal, and acknowledging it made it true.
You love him, don't you?
She said. Squeezing my eyes shut, I forced a shallow breath. Yesterday, the mere idea of falling in love, being in love, was as terrifying as it was exhilarating. Now, it was just one of those things.
Yes, I think I am.
I opened my eyes and met Ainsley's stare. No, I don't think I am. I know I am. I'm in love with him. I think I've been in love with him my entire life. And I love the grown Ryder even more than I loved the boy when we were younger. My heart rate kicked up. And that's scary.
Damn straight it is, she agreed, one side of her lips curling up. It's why I'm totes okay with whatever happens with Todd. I don't love him. I don't even know what that feels like. But I know it has to be scary.
I studied her for a moment, and the knot expanded. I thought Ryder felt the same.
Let's not freak out too much, okay? We don't know what was going on there. They were asleep on the couch, not cuddled up. She was pressed against him.
Saying that made me feel sick, but I had to get it out of me and into the air between us. He wasn't holding her or anything, but there was no space between them, none.
That still doesn't mean anything.
My brows rose.
All right, he's going to have one hell of an excuse for it, but we really don't know what was going on there. Paige is a friend of his and Hector's, right? She knew Hector's brother.
I nodded.
It could be harmless.
I wanted it to be harmless, and a part of me didn't. How crazy was that? But if it wasn't harmless, then it would hurt, and it would suck, but my life would go back to normal. I wouldn't have to worry about things like this, or what Carl and Rosa thought of Ryder. I wouldn't have to fight for him. Or fight in general. I squirmed, uncomfortable with where my thoughts were going. Ainsley placed her hand on my arm.
Has he tried to call you since you left?
I glanced at my bag. The phone rang a couple of times, but I haven't looked. She stared at me like I had half a functioning brain.
You should look. Seriously.
It's probably Rosa or Carl. But I slid off the bed anyway and grabbed my bag, bringing it back to me. I sat up and opened the compartment. I hit the screen and disappointment crashed into me. It's not Ryder's. It's an unknown number.
Oh.
She sighed heavily. Whoever it is left a message. Let me see who it is.
Maybe Carl and Rosa hired a private investigator to find you.
Despite everything, I laughed as I hit the message button. That would be an excessive... Oh. I stopped talking as I recognized the voice.
What?
Her eyes widened as she rocked forward.
What?
Shaking my head, I held my hand out as I hit speaker on my phone. Both of us stared at it as Ryder's deep voice filled the room.
Mallory, this is Ryder. I'm using Hector's phone. I forgot the battery was running low and mine died. Didn't even realize it. I'm charging it now. Shit. None of that matters. He said you were here, that you were in the attic. Why didn't you wake me up?
There was a pause, and Ainsley muttered, "Good question." I shot her a look as Ryder continued.
Hell, I know why. Mallory, call me. Try this number or try mine. Call me.
There was the sound of a door shutting, and then he said,
"Please, Mallory, call me."
The call disconnected, and we both sat there, continuing to stare at it. Ainsley was the first to speak.
"Are you going to call him?"
I... Hope rose, sweet and sugary compared to the bitterness of disappointment and frustration.
"He said his phone was dead. That explains why he didn't answer when you called," she reasoned. "And he's never lied to you before, right?"
I shook my head. His battery had been low. I remembered that now.
"And he called, obviously, right after you left," she continued. "That has to mean something."
I thought it did, but I honestly didn't know what to think anymore.
"Call him," Ainsley urged. "Give him a chance to explain himself."
As I looked up at her, she smiled faintly.
"I'm not an expert in the whole love thing, but if you love him, you'll give him a chance to explain himself. And you love him, right?"
My heart screamed yes.
"Call him."
Chapter 33. I didn't know what to do. Well, I knew I had to go home and face the music, but when it came to Ryder, I had no idea. I wanted to talk to him, and I didn't. Right now, I didn't want him to have to worry about relationship drama. The boy he considered a brother had just been killed. He didn't need to deal with me and what was and was not happening with us. But I was also scared of what he had to say. Scared of how it would make me feel either way. He apparently hadn't needed me. I flinched. I hated that thought because it was spiteful and it hurt. It clawed around in my chest because when it came time for the script to be flipped, for me to be there for him, someone else had beaten me to it. The feeling sounded ridiculous, but that was how I felt. That was real. And I felt like I failed somehow. When I came home just before dinner, I expected Rosa and Carl to be where they were, in the kitchen, waiting to pounce on me the minute I walked through the door. That didn't happen. The door to the library was closed, and I could hear someone moving around in the kitchen, most likely Rosa. I halted at the stairs, knowing I should just get this over with, go into the kitchen and face the music. I hurried up the stairs instead, and closed the bedroom door behind me. Pulling my phone out, I dropped my bag on the window seat. My phone had rung while I was driving. It was Ryder, this time from his phone. He'd left a message again. Knots formed in my belly as I lifted the phone to my ear and listened to the message. There was silence, and then, "Damn it." He didn't say anything else. The message ended. I sat on the window seat and stared at my phone. Stomach churning, I bit down on my lip. I loved Ryder. Oh, God. I was in love with him. I knew that much was true. Love was the swelling, hopeful feeling in my chest every time I saw him. Love was the way I could forget about everything when I was with him. Love was the catch in my breath when he looked at me in his intense way. Love was the gasp he could draw out of me with the simplest of touches. Love was the way I could be myself around him, know that I didn't need to be perfect or worry about what he was thinking because he accepted me. And all of that? Love scared the hell out of me. I didn't want the heartbreak. I knew Ryder cared about me, even loved me in a way one would love their childhood friend. But I didn't know if it was the same emotion I felt for him, because there was a difference between loving someone and being in love. And he hadn't said he was in love with me. He'd said a lot and done a lot to me, but those words had never been spoken. Seeing him with Paige hurt in a way I could barely put into words, a feeling I was so unfamiliar with. I felt sick and anxious, as if I was forgetting to do something, but there was nothing for me to do. Heartbreak could only be worse. I didn't want to lose him one day, and God, there were so many ways you could lose someone. I didn't want to disappoint him. I didn't want him to disappoint me. Restless, I rose from the window seat and walked to the door. I stopped before I opened it. Where was I going to go? If I went downstairs, I'd have to face Carl and Rosa. So I retreated to my bed, and I didn't face them. I didn't call Ryder. Like the Mallory of 12 years, I did what I did best. I hid. Today was going to suck. That was all I could think as I dragged myself in the back entrance of Lands High. Jaden would not surprise me at my locker. He wouldn't randomly appear at lunch and flirt with the girls while stealing their French fries, and I imagined everyone would be talking about what happened on Saturday. Every part of me ached as I climbed the stairs to go to my locker. The heavy sweater I wore did nothing to ease the chill settling deep into my bones. I'd hardly slept last night, and Rosa must have sensed that, because all she'd said at breakfast was to dress warm since it was supposed to snow. Somehow her tiptoeing around the events of yesterday had been scarier than her confronting me. Feeling like I needed a nap already, I started to open my locker door. Mouse. My body jerked, and then I whipped around. Thoughts scattered as I stared up at Ryder. He looked exhausted, standing there. Dark shadows had blossomed under his eyes. His hair was messy, as if he'd been shoving his hands through it several times. There was a smattering of scruff along his jaw, and I wanted to rush toward him and wrap my arms around him. I wanted to hold him, because as those hazel eyes met mine, there was a wealth of sorrow in their depths. I stood still. Ryder stepped forward, ignoring the person he cut off. Can we talk? My heart pounded in my chest. You have to go to class, I know, he said, stepping even closer, so close our shoes touched. I couldn't wait until lunch, I mean I will, but please, give me a chance to talk to you. I opened my mouth, and I don't even know what I planned to say, only that what came out of me surprised me. We can talk now. Now? Relief flickered across his face. You'll leave school. Nodding, I closed the locker and then faced him. I had no idea what I was doing. Last night I hadn't been ready to talk to him. I wasn't sure I was ready now. And leaving school was a bad, bad idea. But I did it. Ryder studied me for a moment, like he didn't believe me. I didn't even believe myself, but we started walking. And we kept walking, right out into the cold air and straight to my car, going against the sea of students. No one stopped us. No one looked twice. We got into the car and I turned it on, cranking up the heat. I didn't let myself think about what I was doing, or how much trouble I'd get into if the school contacted the house. I looked over at him, and realized then he was only wearing a black thermal and jeans, no jacket. Aren't you freezing? His gaze roamed over my face. I don't even feel the cold right now. Looking away, I slipped the car into reverse and backed out of the parking space. Where to? We can go to Hector's house, he offered. No one is there right now, they're over at his aunt's. I thought about his wording. Why don't you ever call it your house? He didn't answer, and when I glanced over at him, he was staring out the window, his jaw locked down.
Ryder, I persisted. You want to talk? Let's talk.
I wanted to talk about what you saw yesterday, he replied.
The knots in my stomach doubled. I want to talk about this first.
Ryder kicked his head back against the seat, and several moments passed before he spoke.
It doesn't feel like a home, Mallory. Not my home.
I focused on the road.
What does that mean? Your home looks like a home.
Yours feels like a home. You're there, in the living room and in the kitchen, in your bedroom, he explained. But I'm just sleeping in mine.
A sick feeling twisted up my insides.
Does Mrs. Luna make you feel that way?
No, he sighed. Of course not, but I'm not. I'm a foster kid, just one of the many Mrs. Luna took in. I'm not her grandson. God knows I'm not a replacement for Jaden. And no matter how much they make me feel welcome, I age out as soon as I graduate. I am not blood. I'm just another mouth to feed. I have to remember that. I always have to remember that.
I thought about what Carl had said yesterday, and I understood that feeling. But I wasn't sure if Ryder was giving Mrs. Luna enough credit, or giving himself enough credit.
It's not a big deal, he added.
I think it is. I slowed with the traffic and glanced over at him. He was still staring out the window, tracing his fingers along the glass. I took a breath and then gave voice to thoughts I kept to myself.
I don't think you realize how much Hector and Mrs. Luna care about you, how much Jaden cared about you. I don't think you believe you're worth it. It's the same with your artwork and art school, with college.
My hands tightened around the steering wheel and certainty filled me.
You've given up on yourself before anyone else has a chance to.
Silence greeted me. I could feel Ryder's stare on me. Several moments passed.
That's bullshit, and kind of priceless coming from you. You gave up on me yesterday.
I started to defend myself, but I couldn't. I swallowed hard.
I know. You're right about that. But I'm also right.
And how's that?
Challenge hardened his tone. Because I give up on myself on a daily basis. I admit it. My cheeks heated, but I continued.
I know.
He sucked in an audible breath.
Mallory.
I shook my head as I thought about all the conflicting emotions and needs and wants. It's true. It's what I do. I don't mean to. Or maybe I do. It's easier being scared of everything.
How can that be?
His voice softened.
How can that be easier?
My smile was faint. Suddenly I really wished I was at home with my head under the blankets.
You can't fail when you don't really try, right?
You'd know that.
Ryder cursed under his breath, and he didn't say anything after that. As I pulled into the parking spot a few houses down, I figured coming to talk was a bad idea, so I didn't turn the car off. The click of Ryder unbuckling his seatbelt echoed. I looked over.
Maybe we should talk later.
What?
He paused with his hand on the door.
No, not after what you just said. You're not giving up without even talking, especially not after you just called me out for virtually the same thing.
Well, he had a good point there, but I hesitated.
We're here, okay? Let's talk.
The urge to run back to school or home rode me hard. I really couldn't even believe I'd left school and was sitting outside Ryder's house, the house that didn't feel like a home to him.
Okay, I whispered.
Ryder waited until I grabbed my bag and got out of the car before he did, almost like he expected me to drive off the moment he stepped out. I followed him up the block, shivering as the wind lifted the hair off my shoulders. The house was quiet as we walked in, and it smelled more like pumpkin than apples this time. Before I could stop myself, I looked over at the wall behind the couch
Out of all the framed photos, I saw Jaden immediately. It was a Christmas photo, possibly from last year. He stood in front of a festively lit tree, smiling broadly at the camera, while he held a Puerto Rican flag in